certainly go by the title of Alyssa's dad. I'll be okay with that. No, it's been a joy to, I feel, connected to this place, although there's only a few of you I know. And I'm glad to see that Brother David Hanna is not the standard, that it even rises above that. And so, no, I've enjoyed getting to know the Hannas, of course, through Colin and then your pastor, a little bit through the last couple of years. And I get reports. I feel like I know all of you because I get all the information through my daughter from time to time. But it's exciting for the occasion of being here for the ordination. I thought it was Alyssa's ordination, but it's Colin's ordination. Okay, all right. I'm looking forward to the ordination service on Sunday. Surely get enjoying seeing the kids, and I'm excited that they are here serving the Lord. And as a father, that's a great joy knowing your kids are serving the Lord. And I wish this was closer to Florida, but I'm certainly thrilled at what they get to be involved in. And it's exciting to see churches like this one, who in this day are still pressing forward and still standing for the truth and still loving sinners and preaching the gospel. And certainly that's what it's all about. And thank you, preacher, for allowing me to preach tonight in your pulpit. I do not take that lightly, and to be a part of the service coming up. And hopefully we'll have an ordination service on Sunday if Colin passes the test. John 14, I want to read a familiar passage of Scripture. I'll read the first six verses if you'll follow along with me. And I want to be helpful to all of us tonight. And the wonderful thing is every time you open the Bible, it helps you. It helps you when it encourages you. It also helps you when it convicts you. It always helps you. But John 14, verse number 1, "Let not your heart be troubled." What a statement. "You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I want to use John 14 this evening to speak on this subject, why I am comforted in troubled times, or a John 14 perspective. Often, we view things incorrectly because we don't have the right perspective. And it is good for us to stop and look through the lens of the Word of God from time to time to correct our perspective. Because sometimes we think we know what's taking place, we don't have the proper perspective. And so tonight I want to be very practical. I have eight statements I want to make to you from John 14. Don't let that frighten you. I won't keep you past the time that you normally are. Your preacher told me you're usually at about 8 o'clock or so, 9 o'clock. So, no. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together. And Father, certainly while this is the first time I've been to this church, certainly there's a kindred spirit because we have the same Savior. We have the same hope. We have the same Word. And Father, I pray that tonight through your Word we'll be helped and encouraged. And Father, I pray that you continue to bless this church and what they're doing in this part of the world. Bless this ministry. Bless the service tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I love John chapter number 14, and this passage of Scripture has often been used. I've used it when a loved one passes away. You use it for comfort. I've used it in funerals. I've used it the last few moments of a saint before they slip from this life into eternity. But as we look at this passage of Scripture, may we be reminded that Jesus said that he was going, he was leaving these words behind with his disciples. And as we read John chapter number 14, Jesus begins in the first statement, "Let not your heart be troubled." Obviously, what he was going to tell them was going to trouble them. The world they lived in would trouble them. As I think of that, and I think about the day we live in, the world we live in today, I don't know if you've noticed lately, but we live in a troubled world. There's a lot of things going on in our world that if it doesn't trouble you, you're not paying, I'm going to say close attention, you're just not paying attention at all. We live in troubled times. But I'm here to tell you tonight that I'm not a man who's discouraged. I'm not a man who's thinking about quitting. I'm not a man who is necessarily frightened by these times. The reason being is I want to live my life with a John 14 perspective. Jesus told these disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled." These words are still true for you and I today. You may not like what's going on in Washington, D.C., just like I don't like what's going on in Washington, D.C. You may not like what's going on in this world, the society, in the wickedness that's in this world. But let me tell you, Jesus still says, "Let not your heart be troubled." How do we stay comforted? How do we stay on top side in troubled times? I'm often reminded, I remind myself, I try to remind our people, I think it'd be good for all of us to be reminded tonight, that God never promised us easy times. God never promised us times that would not be troubled. As a matter of fact, this book tells us that our times are always going to be troubled. But we have comfort in these times. Comfort comes from what Scripture tells us. And now John chapter 14, I believe, holds several keys for the Christian to find comfort in these days we live in. For the Christian to find confidence in the days we live in. The darker the world we live in, the brighter our light's going to shine. I'm certain it's true here. I know it's true in Jacksonville, Florida. The things that have taken place in this world has caused people to stop and take notice and look for the right answers. And look for the truth. This evening, I want to give you several things from John 14. If you'll keep your Bibles open, we'll move very quickly, but I want to be practical but helpful tonight. I want to use what God encouraged this preacher with from this passage of Scripture to possibly encourage you. You say, "Preacher, I don't need encouragement tonight." Well, maybe you can take what's said and go encourage somebody else with it. Or the day may come when you will be discouraged, but we need to keep our focus. Let not your heart be troubled. That's say number one. Why I find comfort in troubled times, or a John 14 perspective, is my confidence is in God. Verse number one, "Let not your heart be troubled." Why? "Ye believe in God, believe also in me." We as Christians need to be reminded who our hope is in, who our belief is in. And my belief isn't in a Republican, my belief isn't in a Democrat, it's in God Himself. And we need to be reminded that we can have confidence because our belief is in God. Christian, don't be discouraged. This book has many promises. This book is true. You say, well, Pastor Neil, I don't know what it's like in Florida, but around here I see some things. Oh, friend, this book is more real than what you and I see. Believe in God. Why should we be comforted? Because our confidence is in God. If your confidence is in man, you ought to be discouraged. If your confidence in a political movement, you're going to be disappointed and discouraged. Your confidence is even in religious people, you're certainly going to be discouraged. My belief is in God. Number two, why I'm confident in troubled times is my future is secure. I read verse 1 through 6 and focused mainly on verses 2 through 6. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you," verse 3, "and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Heaven's going to be wonderful. Sometimes I want to remind discouraged Christians, hey, heaven's real. It's a real place, and there's going to be some wonderful things about heaven, but what I like about heaven is what I read in verse number 3. Jesus is there. And we're going to be with him. Verse 4, "Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I'm comforted in troubled times because my future is secure. What if war breaks out? My future is secure. What if disease? My future is secure. What if politically things continue to go the way they're going? My future is secure. How many of you are saved tonight? Let me see your hand. If you're saved on your way to heaven, nothing that takes place down here changes your future. Why am I not discouraged? Because my future is secure. Number three, I want you to notice this, and often we read those first six verses and we fail to see the remainder of what chapter 14 has for us. There's much in chapter 14. And I want us to see, I want to draw our attention just for a moment to verse number 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. I try to place myself in the presence of the disciples that day. And Jesus said, I'm leaving you. Then he gives them so much to have confidence in. I wonder if they even heard it. I wonder if they fully understood what he was saying. He says in verse 12, you're going to do greater works than I've done. I read that and I still find it hard to believe, but because Jesus said it, we should believe it. And the third thing I'll mention this evening of why I'm comforted in troubled times or a John 14 perspective is there's work to do. I would say the Clearview Baptist Church is exciting to see what's going on here. It's exciting to see the building project, but there's work to do. We don't need for Christians to be troubled and discouraged because there's too much for God that still needs to be done. And maybe you would say, well, Pastor Neil, that's for the young folks. Well, if you're still here, there's something left for you to do. Or maybe you'd say, that's for the older folks. Well, if you're here, there's something for you to do. There's still work to be done. God intends for us to do a work for him. As long as God gives me strength, as long as God gives me days, I want to use those days to work for him. That's the wonderful thing about the local church. Because you can do something for the Lord through the church he designed for you and I. Say, well, I'm glad we got a faithful pastor. Well, the faithful pastor wants some faithful people who say, let's work together and let's do a work for God. These are John 14 perspective, quite frankly, in our churches. The fact that there's still work left to be done. I say number four, as we look at verse 13 and 14, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Notice verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. It was encouraging as I sat there and the prayer list was gone through and different requests were made and to see names on the prayer sheet, see my wife's name on the prayer sheet, and to think that we can go to God on our behalf. We can go to God on the behalf of others. I think it'd be okay for me to say this. Christian, have you complained about what's going on in your country? Have you talked to God about it? Have you asked him to do something about it? Have you asked him to do something in you so that you could be a brighter light in the world that we live in? Why? If we have prayer, if we believe prayer works, why are we not in better shape than we're in? And we need a little John 14 perspective, say, the world is not getting any better, but the promises are still true. And Jesus tells his disciples, I'm leaving you, but if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I tell you what we need today, more than we need political rallies, we need prayer meetings. That's what moves the heart of God, to think that we have access to God who created all things, placed all the stars in space, can go to God, and on whose authority do we go to God? On the Son. We go to Him through the Son. Boy, I'm comforted in troubled times because I have the promise in John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, that if I can ask anything in His name, He will do it. We look again at the next truth and promise. We look at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Let me say number five, focus on keeping the commandments. Now, I don't think anybody in here, I wouldn't think anybody here believes that if you keep the commandments, that gets you to heaven. Because I'm going to heaven, I want to try to keep the commandments. Wait, that's a little bit of John 14. The world is not getting, have you seen what's going on in the world? Yeah, so Christians ought to be keeping the commandments. I say this to my people, showing you love Jesus is more than wearing a t-shirt that says, I love Jesus. It's more than a hashtag on social media. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, do what I say. Verse number 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Aren't you thankful for John 3:16? For God so loved the world. Friend, you and I are part of that world. You and I are recipients of the love of God. You and I have received the gift. God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay for your sins, to pay for my sins. Well, we've received the love of God. Well, I don't know about you, but I know that I don't deserve the love of God. I know I don't deserve the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not complaining about having the love of God. I like the fact that God loves me. I like the fact that God's been better to me than I deserve. I trust that you do as well. Well, if the God of all creation, the God of all things, the true and only God, loves me, I want Him to know that I love Him. I want Him to know, and I don't want to just use trite words and, oh, you know I love you, Father, and, oh, I love you, Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So what do we do in troubled times? Focus on keeping the commandments that God has established. Well, I've been frustrated the last couple of years. I don't know if anybody else has been frustrated. But I learned something very, very quickly. I can't change Washington, D.C. I can't change local political governments. Let me tell you what I can do. I can follow the commandments. I can be part of the righteous that exalts a nation. Now, you could probably guess my political affiliation, but let me say this. Republicans are not what exalts a nation, it's righteousness. Say, what can I do? I'm just going to keep this commandments. Verse number 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Verse 24, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my saying. Think about that. Boy, if we want to show God we love him, we have to keep his commandments. While I'm comforted in troubled times, we move to number six. We look at verse number 16 with me. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. For ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Sixth reason why I'm suffering in troubled times is we're not alone. Jesus tells those men who left everything. You and I could probably tell the faults and failures of Peter, but let's not forget that Peter left everything to follow him. Peter walked away from his father's business. He walked away from his livelihood. So does other men. And now the very one that they left everything for says, I'm leaving you. Now, let's not make make the mistake of thinking these men were not like we are today. They believed Jesus was the Son of God. They believed many times that He had come to establish His kingdom now. Let's get rid of those nasty Romans and the oppression that they have on us. King Jesus is here. Many times they failed to see that. That's not the purpose of Jesus' first coming. Now let me just remind you real quick, there is a second coming. Jesus says, I'm going to leave you, but I'm never going to leave you. I don't know if you've ever found the occasion in your life when you felt like there was no man who could help you. There was no man who could comfort you. But you still were not comforted. There was no man who could give you hope. Yet you still found hope. You still found strength. You still found the wisdom. The Spirit of God, you and I are not alone. What a promise. What strength we have. And friend, we look in this world and we may say, oh, are we in the minority? It doesn't matter what the numbers say, friend. The fact of the matter is, you and I are never alone. And Jesus said, I will send one for you. I'm afraid that we get ourselves in trouble because we forget that we're not alone. I've done this, and certainly I try not to make this a habit. You ever try to figure out your situation on your own? We try everything we can. We try to figure it all out. And then it's like, well, I can't figure it out. I guess I'll pray. I guess I'll try. We've got to go to Him first. We have the Spirit of God. Think about that. Spirit of God. We are not alone. Number 7, we continue on that point there in verse 26 and 27. This has really helped me. Look at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now you can think. Put yourself there with Peter and John and James and those other disciples. Jesus says He's leading you. Think in this time, every decision they had made after they encountered the Lord Jesus Christ had been simply doing what He said to do. Where are we going? Wherever Jesus goes. What town are we going to? Whatever town Jesus decides to go to. How many times do we read in Scripture, Jesus says, get in the boat and go to the other side. What are we going to do? Just get in the boat and go to the other side. Literally, they made no plans beyond what was right in front of them. Now the one who has told them every direction, every step they're going to take, is saying, I'm leaving. He has been teaching them. He has been ministering to them. Now He's going to be gone, but notice what He says. He says, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, is coming. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. For the seventh reason why we need some John 14 perspective is the Holy Ghost ministers to the believer. I take great comfort in the fact that I'm never alone. I take great comfort that if I walk through a valley, the Spirit of God is with me. I take great comfort that the Spirit of God dwells within me as He does you as a child of God. I take comfort in that we are not alone. But more than that, Jesus is telling them, I'm not just going to leave you in a situation where you're not alone. The Spirit of God is going to minister to you. He's going to teach you what you need to know. And I've learned this through my life. Sometimes you go through trials and tribulations because the Spirit of God needs to teach you something. Sometimes we as a people, we experience things as a local church because the Spirit of God needs to teach us something. I'm thankful for the fact that I've grown up in church. I'm a preacher's kid. I'm thankful for the, don't hold that against me. I'm thankful for the fact that I've, for my whole life, I've been in the house of God. I've heard everything taught in Sunday school that you can be taught. I've heard every message preached that you could think of. I've been in, I can't even count how many times I've been in church in my life, but there have been times in my life when in the very moment I needed a truth, that the Holy Spirit of God reached into the recesses of my mind and pulled a thought out, pulled a scripture out, pulled a message out exactly when I needed it. Now, friend, it had to be put in the first place, but the Spirit of God ministered to me. Which, it's amazing how you can see the difference in the child of God and the one who's not saved. My wife and I, our second daughter, the Lord saw fit to take home after sickness when she was a child. We spent weeks and weeks and weeks in the pediatric intensive care. And I can tell you, testify to you today, the only way we got through that is God. But lessons that were learned as you watch people fall apart, fall apart, fall apart. And what is the only difference? The difference is you got the Spirit of God that will minister to you. He will strengthen you. He will teach you. That's why when your pastor gets up to preach, sometimes he preaches on a message, and the Spirit of God talks to you about something he's not even preaching about. It is really a supernatural thing. Because the Spirit of God impresses upon your pastor through his study and prayer, bring this message. And now you've got new Christians in the service. You've got older Christians in the service. You've got different needs, and somebody's discouraged, and somebody's battling health situations, and somebody's got a decision to make. And it's but for the Spirit of God can a message be given, and he ministered to each and every believer. In the stillness of the morning, as you open the Word of God, it's the Spirit of God that ministers to you. Are you getting the idea that we ought to be comforted? How are we going to know what to do? The Spirit of God will lead us. Father, head of house, you rear your children, you guide your home according to this book. I'm not going to always know what to do. The Spirit of God will minister to you. Rear your children, the Spirit of God will minister to you. I see number 8, and finally, you look at verse number 30, hereafter I will not talk much with you. For the prince of this world comes. Have nothing in me, that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. It would not be long, and Jesus is going to the cross. Scripture tells us that Satan is going to enter into Judas. Judas is going to place the kiss of betrayal in the cheek of the Son of God. What a picture. Jesus says, the prince of this world cometh, and it reminds me, when we see these troubled times, we see, statement number 8, the will of the Father must be done. Darkness was going to have an hour. The prince of the world was coming soon, and the kiss of betrayal would be placed on the cheek of the Son of God, and Jesus would be taken and falsely accused and be blasphemed, and he would endure physical pain and suffering. And when he was nailed to the cross of Calvary, we know that he would take upon him the sins of the world, but the prince of the world, Satan himself, thought that he was winning. Have you ever thought, I'm sure that you have, about all that the Lord allowed himself to endure? The man did not take the life of the Son of God. He gave his life. Some of the most powerful scripture to me is when you read the account as Jesus Jesus appears before Caiaphas, and then he appears before that council, and then he appears before Pontius Pilate. And all the blasphemy and all the accusations, he answered them not a word. Because the will of the Father had to be done. Friend, don't be discouraged by what you see in this world. Be encouraged by what you see in this world. Because the day is coming when that trumpet is going to sound and the church is going to be raptured out. The prince of this world is going to have his hour. I don't like it. And I would be foolish to stand here and say, I understand everything that is going on. Because sometimes there's no explanation for what's going on except the will of the Father has to be done. Let not your heart be troubled. It's troubling time. And as Paul writes to Timothy, perilous times shall come. Perilous times have come. You know, this world does not need to see. It does not need to see discouragement. It does not need to see depressed Christians. It's okay to have fears. We all have fears, but this world does not need to see afraid Christians. What are we to do when we don't understand? Have a little bit of John 14 perspective. Let not your hearts be troubled. I'm not going to believe anything but God. Friend, tonight, I don't know what you're dealing with. I know very few of you. But I do know this, that in a troubling world, it's when we need to look to Him the most. It's a great opportunity. I don't want to be discouraged. I don't want to be defeated. I want to have some John 14. I'm not discouraged. I'm comforted during troubled times. Because of what the Lord has told us. You feel alone tonight. You're not alone. I don't know what I need. The Spirit of God is going to minister to you. It's not a bad place to be where you don't know what to do. Listen to the still, small voice of the Spirit of God. Who speaks through the Word of God. Let's be encouraged. Let's be excited about the opportunity to come. Again, I'm an outsider, and I see what God is doing here, and I see the growth and the building. You've got great days ahead of you. Let's be excited. What a great opportunity to make a difference in this world. Hey, this world knows that things don't make sense. It knows that things aren't adding up, and they're going to be looking for the answer. Where are they going to go? To Christians who are discouraged and defeated and have thrown in the towel? No, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus is coming back. And if he were to come back tonight, wouldn't it be wonderful for us to be busy serving him? Father, help us as we consider these truths. I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the Spirit of God. I pray that you would use your Word tonight to help these dear people. I pray that you'll continue to bless this church, bless this pastor. Father, may you use him in an even greater way than you already have. Father, to the one tonight that may be a little discouraged by things that are taking place in this world, and certainly we've all felt the effects. Father, I pray that we would be reminded that our hope is in you. Our belief is in you. And for the Christian, we can't lose. For the Christian, our eternity is secure. Bless your people now. We ask this.